Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling 92.1 The Goat, because we're the greatest of all time, which I think you are. So I'm glad you're calling in today.
All right. Thank you. I would be a tiny goat, but I'll take it.
Okay. You're one of the little miniature ones?
Yeah. One of the teacup ones that
there
jump around in their pajamas. Yeah. The ones in pajamas on Instagram. Those are my favorites.
And the ones that randomly fall asleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fainting ones, right.
The fainting ones. All right. Well, we can get this started. Let me introduce TV personality, podcaster, accomplished drinker, comedic writer, record setter for the Mid-Missouri Hoops Championship of 78, ultimate road dog, and of course, the funniest female stand-up comic in the world, I will add.
Well, thank you.
Kathleen Madigan, welcome.
That was a wonderful introduction.
Well, thank you. Well,
yeah,
you've accomplished a lot so far.
Well, it's been a very long time. So, you know, if you stay on the road long enough, you're bound to, you know, every squirrel gets a nut every now and then. So here we are 35 years later.
And that's crazy. You have been doing this for 35 years. I actually found you during your last Comic Standing days. And I can't believe that's been 20 years ago. That blew my mind.
Yeah, it seems like, well, it does seem a long, long time ago to me. But it also, I don't know, then I saw a picture of it and I'm like, seems like it wasn't that long ago. But
yeah, I didn't think it was either. I didn't realize there was so many seasons. I think I kind of died off after you guys. Your group.
Yeah, I died off after us too. I don't even know what happened on the rest of them, but I didn't really watch ours. I mean, it's horrifying to watch yourself in some like prison on TV for, I don't know, umpteen weeks we were on that thing. It just was like, wow. And then I was so upset because I had watched like Top Chef and all these other ones and they all got to drink. And I was like, where's the wine? I mean, in other shows, I see people drinking wine and they were like, oh, yeah, well, we're not doing that anymore. And then me and John Heffron had to beg for like a six pack and we saved two. We each had two and then we saved one apiece and they took them overnight out of the refrigerator. It was so disappointing.
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with comics. You kind of, you know, why would they refuse that? That's kind of odd.
Yeah, well, it's insurance liabilities. That's what my dad would tell you. He was a lawyer. He's like, well, the insurance on that, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, Dad, you always come up with a reason to kill the fun.
That's what dads do, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Well, how do you continue the stamina of constant touring and recording your stand-up specials? And now you've added the Madigan Pubcast in the mix. I mean, I needed a nap just reading your bio. What is your secret?
I think I just still like it. I like the road. Like, I like to go and see what's going on. And then I, in my mind, I come up with ideas how to fix towns. I just like the road. I didn't mind COVID. I didn't mind staying home because I'd never done that for a whole year. I haven't done that since I was 22 years old.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was very strange, but I didn't mind that either. Like, I could retire and be totally happy. Like, I don't have that need where these comics are like, during COVID, me and Ron White, the comedian, he came up to my house in Nashville for like a month and he's like, isn't it amazing how seamlessly we slipped into retirement without thinking about it? I said, I know. We went golfing every day. We went fishing at night. Like, he goes, turns out the only thing that was messing up our life was that show. That part of the day. I said, exactly. Because we still want to travel. We still want to go. It's just, yeah, if I didn't have the show every night, I'd just be having fun in Milwaukee, per se. Or I'd be somewhere, you know, running around. But I still like traveling and seeing what's going on. So I guess that's why, if you like it, you'll just keep doing it until you feel like, okay, that's enough, you know?
Yeah, well, I clearly can tell that you love and you have the passion and maybe even say that you've accomplished this goal in your life with the touring and doing the stand-up for so long. And you've even done things from like every late-night talk show, USO tours, and even a correspondent for Dr. Phil. Is there anything that you haven't done or that you can't do?
Well, I don't ever want to be like in a sitcom or a movie. I mean, I would do it for a friend. I've done a couple, like where I play a bartender in a movie for a friend or something. But I don't know if you've ever been to like a sitcom taping, but the patience that is required, I don't have it. I'm like, I got to get out of here. This has gone on way too long for way little, too little payoff. So really, you know, people are like, well, don't you have any goals? And I'm like, is it weird if I say no? Like, I'm good. I like what I do. This is what I wanted to do. It's paying the bills, just happy. Like, I feel like Oprah and all them started that, where we got to set higher goals and, quote, raise the bar. Uh-huh. How about we lower it? Anybody? Is anybody on Team Lazy with me? Anybody say, hey, man, I'm happy. I'd like to do a little less. There's nothing. And then I thought, I kept saying I wanted to go tour, do all of Canada, and I did it. So that's off the list. No, the stuff I want to do would have nothing to do with comedy. Like, I want to go see the polar bears in Churchill, Manitoba.
Oh, wow.
But that doesn't have anything to do. There's a town that's polar bear centric. Like, even if you live there, you have to keep your doors open in case somebody gets chased by a bear. It's a law. You have to keep all of your doors open in your house. And I want to just go there. But that has nothing to do with comedy, and nobody except other animal freaks would even care. So I don't have any work goals. Let's put it that way. I like to do a special every couple years, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy the feedback on that. And then the rest of it, I just like live shows. I like the road. I like people. It's still fun to me.
That's awesome. And that's life. And that's, I think you kind of hit it there with your goal, because you're loving life. So you've accomplished that. And like you said, yeah. I'm with you. I don't think you, I mean, it's nice to have something maybe set. Polar bears is awesome. You know, it doesn't always have to be work related. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. If you looked at my bucket list, it has nothing to do with comedy. It's like, it's really weird stuff that has nothing to do with anything. It's just fun stuff. And I don't, you know, and then the rest is work, but the bucket list stuff, but I've never been a type A, like, goal setter. Like, I just, when I was 23, I was like, oh, this is great. I can work at night. I can make money, hang out in a bar and hang out with the staff afterwards, drink beers. What's wrong with this?
Exactly.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing. Tell some jokes and get paid cash. Great.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, nobody tells me what to do. I go on stage, I say what I want to say. I have no boss. I'm an independent contractor. You know. Great.
Easy on taxes, you know, one form, you're good.
Yeah. I just give a bunch of papers and a grocery bag to an accountant and say, let me know if we're going to jail. Thanks. Right. And then I leave. Yeah.
Here's my receipts off the road. And, you know, I might have stopped at a gift shop and bought something weird, but it was definitely for a bit I did. I promise you.
The last time I was in there, he's like, Kathleen, do you still not understand QuickBooks? I'm like, no, I don't. But I did read a book about Mary Todd Lincoln. And let me tell you how crazy Abraham Lincoln's wife was. And he just rolls his eyes. I'm like, that's the truth. While I was supposed to be learning QuickBooks, I did something ridiculous like that. So as long as I have him, we're good.
Exactly. And I have to say, you are an amazing storyteller. You make the audience feel like you are on a journey with you. And that's just incredible. Is that something easy that has always been for you? That just comes to you? Or do you have to work at that?
No, it's very, it's almost like me and Ron say, it's almost too easy. Like, the only thing that's work is doing it every single night. Like, sometimes you have two and three shows in a night, and you're just burnt out by that third one. You don't even care anymore what you're talking about. But the ability to tell a story, and, like, what's weird is the people that I think are the funniest never even wanted to be comedians. It didn't even cross our mind. It was just like some weird accident that I built, if it's Ron White or Bill Burr. I don't know. It's like, I think it's like some people can sing and they just can.
Uh-huh.
And nobody taught them how or whatever. And then, I don't know, some people can just kind of edit down a story where you know where it's funny, and it's not even really on purpose.
Right.
It's just, or your cadence or your accent, or I don't know. It's just a weird thing. It's a weird little gift that I can't really explain, but it is. I see comics, like, back in the day when I worked at clubs, they'd sit all day and write jokes in notebooks, and I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like writing jokes. I'm like, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Don't write the joke. Just tell me something. Tell me something funny. You don't have to write it down. I mean, write down the key words so you remember the story. But, like, I don't write jokes. I don't sit down and write ever. I've never done it my whole life. It's just go live your life and then report back. That's what I'm doing. I'm living life and reporting back.
And you can definitely see that in your shows. I mean, you do have an art to your craft. I love how you can be political with actually not attacking sides. You just state the obvious that we all see, but we never say for whatever reason. It's like, you're our voice for this. So thank you. I appreciate that. And I love it.
And you're welcome.
And the millennials, again, you state the obvious. And I love it. And my favorite, who you've already mentioned, your father, Jack. I mean, my father is also a character alone. I have need to probably start my own podcast called Timmy Tales, because some of the stories I could just talk about him are incredible. They have to make it so easy for you just to be able to have your stand up.
Yeah, they're their own set of, and then I think they're kind of representative of a lot of people's parents. So when
yes.
a story that you would think is so stupid and like pointless, if I say it on stage, it's just a relatability that it connects with people. And you're like, you know, now they get older and then you have to deal with all that.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, yeah. And everybody's kind of in the same boat if you're sort of around my age. Everybody's got parents that are getting older, and what are we supposed to do? And I said to my one friend, I go, you know, I don't think my parents made any plans for old age. And my friend Robert goes, oh no, Kathleen, they had plans. The plan was us.
Yeah.
I went, oh, right.
Yeah.
Like I think they just all thought, well, they'll do it. And I mean, I do have six siblings. There are a lot of us. And guess what? We will do it. But it would be helpful if you guys would have put a little effort into this.
Exactly.
Like, nothing.
Yeah. I don't have any siblings, and I have, my father is just like, he doesn't even have a 401. So he's just, you know, living off of Social Security. And I was running around finding pieces to put a hose back together. Instead of just buying a new hose, I've spent probably $50 in little pieces to put a hose back together instead of just buying a new hose.
Oh, yeah. This is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Like, where you never, ever thought about a 401k? You know, and then I'll my parents are at the casino playing 50 cent video poker, plowing through a few hundo. And I'm like, guys, what? Nothing. There's no plan.
No. And he keeps getting on fake sites on Facebook and ordering stuff from Amazon Wiz, and he's like, well, that's Amazon. No, Amazon has no Wiz behind it. It's just Amazon.com. That's it. Get off of Facebook.
Well, yeah, I know. Like, and they believe it. Kills me too how they might. And I'm somewhere in the middle. So young people believe no pictures they see online. They think they're all edited. My age, I'm aware that it could be edited. My first inclination is to believe it, but then I go, whoa, you know. But my parents' age, they'll believe any picture. My mom goes, well, if you're going to New York City, don't go swimming in the Hudson because there's a great white up there now. I go, Mom, first of all, nobody swims in the Hudson, okay? I'm not just going to go to New York and leave a hotel and go swimming in the Hudson. Second of all, that great white shark you saw, that was Photoshop. There's no great white shark like going up and down all day long in the Hudson. But I mean, these are smart people. My mom's a nurse. My dad's a lawyer. They will believe all that stuff.
I know.
Three times a day, they'll forward something and go, is this, at least now they know, is this real?
Yeah.
Before you do anything, clear it with one of us.
Yep. I've taught my father that the same. He has to send it to me before he clicks any further.
Yeah. So when I do all the jokes about my parents and my act, I think it kind of represents a lot of people's parents in situations where it's just mind boggling that this is our day to day of, wow, I thought you guys were smart and on the ball and you have planned nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I think it's just a relatability where people feel the same that we're, and it feels stupid to complain about it because it seems so trivial.
Right.
But then when I say it on stage, clearly it matters to people because they're all, you know, laughing. At some point, you do have to laugh about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're ridiculous people. And
yes.
I'm like, you know, your parents, their parents were the Depression era parents who saved everything. They would have had enough money for 7 lifetimes. And then I don't know what happened with people my parents' age. They were just like, we're not doing that. We're going to spend everything. I'm like, here's your money. You're free to spend everything. But I don't think they planned on living to 82. I don't even think that ever occurred to them.
And that might be because of the generation they grew up. I mean, people were dying at 60 and they were lucky they got to 70. And now we're living to 100. So,
right. Nobody planned on that. And then the medicine, which can get through Medicare and all this stuff, keeps them alive even longer, maybe even past when they should be alive.
Exactly.
But it's still going on. Well, and then like my friend Ryan, his mom said, you know, I'm done with all this. Well, she wants to go on hospice. Okay. He puts her in hospice because she begs and said he thought it was crazy, but he did it. And then she got better. They took her off all of her meds and she got kicked out. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
And I Googled it. 25% of people are released from hospice because they got better. And I'm like, well, maybe all that medicine wasn't even helping. It's just so mind-boggling when you get to this age where you're just like, I can't believe I'm Googling what is the normal amount of dementia. Like, that's something I've Googled repeatedly. Like, my mom will say something. I'm like, no, Mom, we talked about that like 4 hours ago. And then I think, well, is she crazy? Like, is she going into dementia or is she just 83?
Yes.
And so, but those are the things I Google now. Like, in your 20s, you know, you're Googling, where can I go drink for less than $20?
Yes.
And now I'm Googling, what is the normal amount of dementia?
Kathleen, I could talk with you all day, and I know you've got a busy schedule, and I got to get you off of here. Thank you again for taking time to check in with me. So excited that you're going to be at the Hollywood Casino Charlestown Saturday, June 22nd. Get your tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Thanks again, Kathleen. It's been such a pleasure.
All right. Good to talk to you. I'll see you guys soon.
All righty.
Okay. All right. See you. Bye.
Bye.